So what do we make of the year 2017 from a spiritual perspective? We'll talk about that, and the phones will be open to your calls. All questions welcome today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be back with you. Some of you are still enjoying a Christmas break holiday, with Christmas falling on a Monday. Many of you have Tuesday off, but we are back in the studio live today. If you had family time, if you had time to get with the Lord, if Christmas season is a spiritual time of the year for you, I hope your goals were accomplished. Got some good relaxing family time yesterday, and an epic loss, epic one-on-one wiffle ball match with one of my grandsons, 14, and a very good ball player. I went down 11-10. It was a nail-biter in 9 innings. But aside from that, some good ping-pong victories, but more than that, a lot of family fun. And got some rest time myself, and because of having a little extra rest time, I felt motivated and did a ton of writing, got a bunch of chapters written in about a 3-day period, which I'm excited about for another book in the future, which I'll tell you about at the right time. But here's what we're going to do. I've got a lot of things to talk with you about in terms of the news of the year, in terms of what's happened, in terms of some spiritual reflections, some breaking news as well to discuss with you. But I want to open the phone lines today, tomorrow, same thing. Any question you have of any kind whatsoever, like we do on Friday, you've got questions, we've got answers. I'm going to open the phone lines today as well, 866-34-TRUTH. If you're unable to call on a Friday because of your work schedule, maybe you got a day off today, great day to call in, 866-348-7884. And for everyone that follows us live on radio or YouTube or Facebook in terms of our daily broadcast, just want to remind you that starting Monday, which is the first of the year, we'll have a new clock, meaning less breaks during the show and longer segments. Means we'll also be starting 3 minutes into the hour and 3 minutes into the bottom of the hour. So if you're listening live, Eastern Standard Time, that's 3:03. The show will start instead of 3, and 3:33. It will resume when we take our break at the bottom of the hour. This is to give us longer segments, shorter breaks, and overall more radio time in the hour. We've worked on that with our different studios. We're excited to implement that. But if you happen to tune in right at the beginning of the show, you'll think, oh, what happened? There's news or something. Fear not. It's just the new clock starting January 1st. Obviously, the biggest news of the year is Donald Trump. Donald Trump, President of the United States. Donald Trump, one of the most hated and one of the most rapidly supported presidents. You've got people more divided over Donald Trump than even over Barack Obama, George Bush, Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, Ronald Reagan. At least that's how it appears to me. And his critics think he's the worst thing that ever happened. His supporters think he's a godsend. And evangelical believers are stuck right in the middle of this. So I want to address that, not talking politics as much as giving some spiritual thoughts, reflections, as well as looking at what's happened, the latest larger news as well. More nations say that they want to move their embassies to Jerusalem. We'll talk about that as well. I did some polls about pre-trib, post-trib, celebration of Christmas or not, dietary laws. Did some polls over the last few days on Facebook with thousands of votes. I want to share the results of those polls with you. And my dear friend and colleague, Dr. James White, sent me a note yesterday, some of our critics don't stop. A fresh attack, calling me a non-believer, wolf in sheep's clothing. Don't these guys have anything else to do, especially on Christmas? Come on, get a life. We will be right back. Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks again for being part of our broadcast. I'm grateful to God to have this opportunity to be on the air with you 5 days a week. I'm grateful to each of you for being faithful listeners. Maybe you're just tuning in for the first time. By God's grace, I'm here to be your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a world all too often in compromise. And I'm appreciative of our incredibly faithful, devoted team that works so hard every day to get these radio broadcasts and video broadcasts out to each of you. I wrote an article, and it posted today. You can read it on our website and elsewhere. A year-end update on YouTube. Many of you know that months back, YouTube suddenly demonetized hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of our videos. When we had almost 1,000 at that point on YouTube. Now we're well over 1,100, but we were right around 1,000 at that point. And I suddenly saw, I was just looking at something on our page and noticed, what? And then there were 2 pages listed. When I came back, there were 4 pages. And then what? 5 pages. Each page was like 30 plus video. What? 10? What? 50? How many pages? It ended up hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, almost all of the 900 plus videos, the vast majority got demonetized, meaning that our whole account basically got flagged. And then YouTube began to fix some of it, and then you had to request manual review. We're still waiting for manual review on many. Just so you understand how this works, YouTube did not censor our videos. They did not block them from appearing on YouTube. YouTube did not shut down our channel. What they did was demonetized videos. You'll see at the beginning of a video, normally, for about 5 seconds, an ad runs, and then you can skip that ad. 5 seconds in, just skip it. So you see this all the time on YouTube. This is a way for people to put out content for free, and yet there is a slight income that can come. A video has to be watched hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of times to really generate any income. Unless it's viewed millions of times, you're not going to get a large amount of income to use for other purposes. But as a nonprofit ministry, if it's $200 a month or $500 a month or whatever it is, we're glad to see it come in. And the goal is that thousands of dollars can come in with that so that we can put out millions of dollars of free material for you. You follow? So what happens is suddenly you see your income drops to almost nothing. And it's not because of anything you've done. It's just because you got flagged. And when you try to interact with YouTube, and I don't say this to complain. I'm just giving an update because people have asked me about it. When you interact the customer service end, I've never gotten worse customer service I can think of. I mean, you wait for days for a reply. And again, I'm just reporting. I'm not mad at anybody. You wait for days for a reply, sometimes weeks. Then you get this friendly response. Oh, super happy, friendly, and so sorry you're having this problem. What you should do is click to have your videos reviewed manually. We say, yeah, we've done that, but tell me why hundreds got flagged. Tell me what is controversial about, and you list, because none of them are controversial at all. It's one thing. If I'm really launching a passionate attack against abortion and arguing strenuously for pro-life, and we have pictures of aborted babies on the screen and so on, look, that's not suitable for all advertisers. I wouldn't gripe with YouTube over that for a second. I would differ, but I'd say, hey, I understand why you consider that offensive. Or if we had some super controversial thing here, we'd never do this. But let's say we had, you know, video of a guy burning the Quran and we're discussing it's a good thing or not, but we've got the images of that. Okay, well, a lot of people are going to provoke for that. Is it, oh, okay, I can understand certain things, all right? But we get flagged for stuff that under no circumstances could be called violation of the guidelines on YouTube. Under no circumstances whatsoever. So anyway, over a period of time, so you go back and forth with customer service. I said, hey, you know, we do have over 30,000 plus subscribers. We do have over 1,000 videos. I'd like to talk to a supervisor. Well, they can't talk to you by phone. Well, then let's email. Well, that's not going to happen. Hey, you know, and then weeks go by and you get the same friendly response. You should then have, and it's not a form letter. It's this guy writing back, and I'm talking about unbelievably inept. I'm talking about if the company was based on its customer service, it would fold within hours, literally within hours, based on my experience. But recently, I saw what seemed to be positive. More and more videos were getting approved. Even some dealing with homosexuality, some dealing with abortion. I thought, oh, okay, YouTube is making a course correction. They're being more fair, more even-handed. And then suddenly, I looked the other day and a whole bunch of them, once again, demonetized. You know, there are a bunch of my videos, because Line of Fire broadcast, where I'm answering your questions. And the title is Dr. Brown Answers Your Questions. Answers to Your Questions. Dr. Brown Answers Your Questions, live on Black Friday. Dr. Brown Answers Your Questions and Take Your Calls. We got like a bunch of them. I'm just looking from November to December. Virtually all of them got flagged as not suitable for all advertisers. And we've had to appeal for each of them to have a manual review, which they'll only do if the video gets a fresh 1,000 views within a 7-day period. So let's just say with us putting up so many videos, not all of them are going to get that. That means it could sit and never get reviewed. So now having posted the article, I get an email this morning or last night saying your video on Is There Such a Thing as Ex-Gay has been approved. That was an interview with my friend and colleague Stephen Black that's very forthright, very gospel-oriented, very truth-telling. That got approved. So the other thing is there is zero consistency. Zero. So if you knew that, and look, I'm going to get the message out. Our team is going to get the message out. Do you understand? We will get the message out, and if it's considered unacceptable for YouTube, so be it. And if it gets censored by YouTube, so be it. And if it gets shut down on Facebook, so be it. In other words, we're going to get the truth out either way. But in fairness, in terms of doing what is right, it's important that you understand what the boundaries are, what the parameters are, and just ask YouTube, be consistent and fair. That's all. To the left, to the right, to Muslims, to Jews, to Christians, to Buddhists, to atheists. Just be consistent and fair. That's all we're asking for. Simple, right? Simple. And you know me, Mr. Optimist, I'm still expecting YouTube's going to get this right. I have no empirical basis for that. I don't even say I have faith for it. I just think there's going to be enough pressure. They're too big to go in continual bias. And the Prager University lawsuit against them, that could be powerful because they've got some like 4 billion views on their videos that are up so far. Ours are in the millions total. Theirs in the billions. So I think there'll be a course correction. But if not, either way, we keep getting the message out. I just see some questions that have been posted asking if I'm going to be on Dr. White's show. Yes, God willing, early in the new year. We couldn't work it out to do during the break between Christmas and New Year. But God willing, I'll be on. Look, there are charges posted against me on websites and different things day and night. Videos going up against me day and night. I get accused of every imaginable thing from every imaginable angle. It's par for the course. It comes with the job description as a follower of Jesus, addressing lots of controversial issues publicly. And that's perfectly fine. And when I see believers attacking me, especially the one, you're not saved, you're a false prophet, I just feel bad for the people. And I go on. I don't read the articles in depth, even for comic relief, because that to me is just further demeaning what they've done. It's just, I leave it. I may share it with a friend, say, hey, check out this link, but I haven't even read the whole thing. And when I do, I think that they actually believe what they wrote there. They're actually serious. But Dr. White, traveling in some different circles than I do, said, well, why don't we address some of the issues of substance about beliefs about Jesus and salvation and various things? I said, awesome, let's do it. So that's the plan, God willing, that we'll be addressing things. And as for the request that I debate Black Hebrew Israelites, I know many listen to my show on a regular basis. I know that for a fact. So my door is wide open. In fact, I've proposed that Dr. White and I debate any two respected Hebrew Israelite leaders. Now, I say respected because I want it to be fair. In other words, if you take any expert in their field, and then you take man on the street to have some kind of debate, right? Expert over here, man on the street over here. The expert, if they, and unless what they believe is completely, well, I mean, whatever. If they're an expert, they're still going to be able to give a good argument and make the guy on the street sound bad, even if the guy on the street is right. So we want it to be fair. In other words, we want to get respected Hebrew Israelite leaders who can make a case for their position, all right, who are respected in their communities as leaders or scholars or whatever, and then Dr. White and I together debate them. We would absolutely love to do that and do what it takes that we can do to help make that happen. All right? So we come back. I want to get to some of your calls, and I also want to start to unpack what we can make of the Trump presidency as believers and where we've done well as believers and where we haven't done well as believers. We'll get into that when we come back. Israel, by the way, says as many as 10 nations now actively talking about moving their embassies to Jerusalem. That's big news. Stay tuned.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. That is the number to call. All right, before I go to the phones, the presidency of Donald Trump, here's what I think evangelical leaders have been right on. Excuse me. Here's what I think we've done rightly. We have said from the start, we recognize that he is not a perfect candidate. Excuse me, just while I clear my throat here. We have recognized his failings and his background. And we have said, nonetheless, we believe that God was raising him up, that he was preferable to Hillary Clinton, and that he seemed to care about issues that were important to us. How has he done on those issues? He's done well in many regards. I've seen lists of over 80 major accomplishments by President Trump. And Michael Smirkanish on CNN said that his accomplishments would be formidable, that he would be a president that had done a lot when you compare him to presidencies going back to Ronald Reagan. Now, obviously, Smirkanish is not giving Donald Trump a free pass and praising him at every point, just saying that he recognizes accomplishments. When you look at the things that were most important to us, Supreme Court and judicial appointees, two thumbs up. Not just Neil Gorsuch on the Supreme Court bench, but about a dozen others on other federal appointments. And these are the most that any president got done in the first year. The most appointments, federal judgeships. And these are major, and these will last for could be decades. And remember, 99% of cases never make it to the Supreme Court. So they get judged in these other courts. That's big. Another big thing is he has stood for religious liberty. He's got to go further with Johnson Amendment, got to get it through Congress, et cetera, repealing that. But he has stood up for believers in that regard. That's been important to us as well. And there are issues that have been brought to him. I know for a fact, issues that have been brought to him by Christian leaders, and he has acted on them and pushed them forward. And in certain ways, there's a reason that he's so hated by LGBT activists, because he's perceived as fighting against some of the ground they have gained in recent years. That's positive, very positive. It's also very positive that he has stood as such a staunch friend of Israel and said that he will relocate the embassy and done the things he's done and stood up the way he has with Nikki Haley to the United Nations and now said we're taking like $285 million of funding. Why should we pay such a massive amount of money for an organization that we don't believe is doing the right thing in case after case after case? That's positive. And also, we have been waging a successful war against ISIS, Islamic terrorism, and said we're not going to be afraid to use the word, the term. That's positive. Now, there's some other things that could be listed that are positive as well. I think evangelicals voting for Donald Trump may have thought maybe as a businessman he can do good things for the economy, but regardless, that's not why I voted for him. I voted for him based on who would do a better job on these issues that were very important to me, and could I vote for him in conscience knowing there'd be certain baggage, all right? But in fact, it seems that the economy is humming in many ways, and that many things he's done in terms of the economy have been positive and will be positive for Americans in general, both poor and middle class and rich, from what I understand. But as you know, I do not speak with authority when it comes to economic issues. Where I think evangelicals have sometimes failed is when the president has acted in a way that's inappropriate, when his behavior has been divisive, when things he has tweeted out or said are demeaning and detract from the office of the president and further demean our national culture and dialogue, I think that we've often been too slow to speak out accordingly, too slow to address these issues and say, President Trump, we are praying for you and we support you, but we really wish you wouldn't do thus and such. We think it would be so much better to let others fight these battles and you focus on the reasons we've elected you. If he believes there's fake news, expose it. There's a way to do it, perhaps, that is far less demeaning and divisive in the midst of saying this is false, this is fake. So I think overall, he's done a lot that's very good and praiseworthy. At the same time, the baggage is what we thought it would be and hoped it might not be, but it is. And that's where we continue to pray for change. Let us not be associated with Donald Trump for better or worse. In other words, if he goes up, if he goes down, then evangelicals go up or down. Let us be associated with Jesus for better or worse. And President Trump is a president serving the nation for whom we pray. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll go to the phones in New York. Michael, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, man, you tell me what's up.
All right, so basically, I wanted to say, how do you differ dreams from God from dreams that we develop? Like God's dream, like how do you differ from God's dream and a mere man's dream?
Yeah, so we know in Scripture that God does speak through dreams sometimes in the Bible, but
yeah.
that most dreams people dream are not getting prophetic meaning and things like that. In other words, someone's really troubled by a dream and they ask, well, what's going on? But your normal dreams, you're not necessarily looking for prophetic meaning in every dream. So we know it happened in the Old Testament. We know in the New Testament that the Joel 2 prophecy, Peter quotes in Acts 2, that mm-hmm. your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. This is a prophecy for the last days in which we live.
Yeah.
So from the death and resurrection of Jesus until today, God continues to speak in dreams and visions according to Scripture. Mm-hmm. So how do we determine what's a prophetic dream and what's not? What's, as we say, a pepperoni pizza dream? I was never a pepperoni pizza eater, even my pizza days, but, you know, the something you ate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, normally, from what I understand, dreams mm-hmm. are normally telling us what we're thinking, what's on our mind. So,
yeah.
You know, when I have to catch an early flight and I'm only going to get a few hours sleep, the whole night, all I'm dreaming is I overslept or I missed the flight or, you know, whatever.
Oh, right.
And it turns out I get on the plane on time, so there's nothing prophetic about it. But
yeah.
First thing is, if it's a dream from God, the message of the dream can't be in violation of Scripture. I understand that dreams can be ambiguous and need interpretation and insight. It's the very nature of them. But if the message of the dream, you know, God sent me a dream that there is no God, or God sent me a dream that the Bible's not true, well, obviously, we throw those out immediately.
But right. But I wanted to elaborate more on that is because, like, there's this old lady, she's Roman Catholic, right?
Yeah.
And she says, she's really old, and, like, but she says she has visions from God.
Right.
She says she sees the Virgin Mary and God
yeah.
and up in heaven, just conquering together, and that obviously that goes against what Scripture says, right? So
So that
I
would
don't
reflect...
know how to like respond to that, but like
yeah, well, I... yeah. Let me just say this because I got a break coming up. Number one, I just leave her. You know what I'm saying? I would really just try to minister to her about really knowing the Lord and really being born again and really following the Jesus of the Bible, and wouldn't worry about the dreams. That's one. Two. The question is she explicitly saying something false about Mary and the dreams that's blatantly contradictory to Scripture? If so, it's her imagination and thoughts. And in general, if a dream is from the Lord, something's going to stick with us, get our attention, and maybe even be repeated.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
Save the nations.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So here's something really interesting. On the one hand, we read in Scripture, in Zechariah 14, Zechariah 12, that God will bring all nations against Jerusalem at the end of the age to war, and God will defeat those enemies, and the survivors of those nations will go to Jerusalem every year to worship the Lord. So that's written on the one hand, and it could mean every nation on the planet. It could mean a coalition of nations around the world. It could mean specifically the surrounding nations. That can all be debated. So you say, okay, that's one thing. Why then are you positive? Why do you speak well when America recognizes Jerusalem, when other nations recognize Jerusalem? Well, we are to pray for Jerusalem until it is the praise of all the earth. And it is the place from which the Messiah will reign when he returns, the place to which he will return. His feet will step down on the Mount of Olives, confirmed by Zechariah 14 and Acts 1. Old Testament, New Testament tell us the same thing. And we know it is from there that he will rule and reign, and the nations will come streaming to Jerusalem to learn from the God of Israel, as per Isaiah 2 and Micah 4 and other passages. So we see that these things will certainly unfold. We see that we are called to pray for Jerusalem and for the salvation of the Jewish people. Jews need Jesus like everyone else. So that's absolutely important. And yet, we know that there will be worldwide resistance to the Jewish people in Jerusalem. So why am I glad? Here, I'm looking at an article, Israel in talks with more than 10 countries over Jerusalem embassy move, reported by the Times of Israel and elsewhere. And then Guatemala, First Nation, previously recognized Jerusalem and say, hey, we're going to move our embassy. And there's a great relationship between the Prime Minister of Israel and the President of Guatemala. They've worked together in various ways. There's a real partnership there. There's been a growth of evangelical Christianity in the midst of a country that had been largely Catholic in the past. So this is all interesting. You say, well, why is that good if it's all going to reverse? I still don't know that every nation on the planet is going to turn against Jerusalem. It could be, as I say, a coalition of nations or all surrounding nations, and not necessarily every nation on the planet. But even if every nation one day will turn, I'm glad nations are showing solidarity today. It's the right thing to do today. 866-34-TRUTH. We are live the day after Christmas. And if you've got questions, we'll get to as many of your calls as possible, as well as catching up on a number of interesting and key things happening in the world around us today. One last thing I want to say. The previous half hour, I was asked by a caller about people having dreams and how do you know when they're from God. There are people to whom God speaks on a regular basis through dreams. So if my friends have had that track record for a year, it's uncanny, it's amazing, it's been detailed, it's been accurate, it's led to major ministry to individuals, it's led to people's salvation, it's led to major ministry outreaches that have been very, very powerful. So if you have a track record, your ears are going to be more open. You're going to be watching things. For me, it's the rarest of rare times that the Lord speaks to me in a dream. Normally, I dream what I'm thinking about, what's on my mind, and stuff like that, or some other strange thing. I dreamt the other day that I had won two heavyweight belts as a heavyweight boxing champion. And Nancy, true to form in the dream, said to me, "You're really not a good boxer." I said, but hon, I must have some kind of gift. Where did that come from? I mean, if there are a trillion things on my agenda that I aspire to, being a boxer is not one of them. Being the heavyweight champion of the world is certainly not among them. But Nancy, true to form, was there to get my perspective right. But anyway, every so often, maybe max three times that I can think of in 46 years, God's got my attention through a dream that then led to something coming to pass in my life or something that I was to act on. But it's one of those things that stayed with me in an unusual way. All right, we come back. Want to get your calls. So what were the results to some of my polls about Christmas, dietary laws, pre-trib rapture? You'll find out when we come back.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire. So just another reminder, if you just tuned in at the bottom of the hour, say 2:30 Central Time in the great DFW listening area where you have a number of great stations, if you just tuned in, remember, starting January 1st, when you tune in at the bottom of the hour, so at the half-hour break, if you tune in then, there'll be 3 minutes of news or local programming, after which the show will start, and then we have reduced our breaks during the show to give you more airtime with less breaks. But just a reminder, when you tune in right there at the bottom of the hour, it'll be 3 minutes before the show begins. So we haven't gone anywhere. Nothing's changed. We remain on all of these great stations. 866-348-7884. So I did some polls on Facebook. I did one. I accidentally did it for a week. I only meant to do it for a day, but Facebook by default does it for a week. And they only allow for two responses. Twitter, you can get four, so you have more choices for multiple choice. But I asked, do you celebrate Christmas? Why or why not? So the why or why not, people are going to answer in the comments. We got just under 6,000 votes, and 82% said yes, 18% said no. Got that? 82% yes, 18% no. And many said for them it's a spiritual time of the year, and that's when they do it, and they glorify Jesus through it. Others said no, it's a pagan holiday, or it's not on the biblical calendar, or it don't celebrate his birth, etc. Either way, that's the results of that poll. I did another poll. Facebook just started to let us use polls, so that's why I'm doing more of these polls. And what I mean by let us is that it's all calculated. Twitter, it's calculated. Otherwise, if I did a poll in the past, I'd have to read through all the responses and tabulate. And obviously, if you have hundreds, thousands of responses, we can't do that. So I asked this question, pre-trib rapture poll. Dr. Craig Keener and I have a book scheduled to come out in 2019 on why we're not afraid of the Antichrist and why we don't believe in a pre-trib rapture. And I wrote this. I know that there are lots of different beliefs when it comes to the second coming of Jesus. But since Facebook only gives us two options to post at this time, my question was, do you believe in a pre-trib rapture or do you believe in something else? Either and pre-trib, I said, we'll include mid-trib in that. So are you pre- or mid-trib? Or do you believe in what's called the pre-wrath rapture? Or do you believe in a post-trib rapture? Or you're not you're not premillennial at all. You have an other end time belief. Then you click off no. So what are the results in that one? How many believe in a pre-trib rapture? 54% said yes. 46% said no. I bet if you asked that question 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it would have been much, much, much higher on pre-trib. That's my personal guess. That's what I think. If you asked the question 120, 130 years ago, people would have said, what do you mean by pre-trib rapture? They wouldn't have heard of it. Anyway, just interesting there. And then a dietary law poll. Since some of you have a little extra time today, I posted this Christmas Eve, let's have some fun here and ask this question. Do the dietary laws apply to believers today? Is it God's will that all believers observe these laws? Now, we had about 3,000 votes on the pre-trib one. This had about 2,600 votes. 79% said no, 21% said yes. So this roughly mirrors, within 3 percentage points, how many say they celebrate Christmas and how many say they don't. Interesting, isn't it? That those that think they should keep the dietary laws, that's the tiniest drop higher than those who say they don't celebrate Christmas. So again, not a debate we're getting into today, but just reporting to you on the results of these polls. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Fort Mill, South Carolina. Bill, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Great to be on with you, Michael.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you if you aware that if you are a Facebook shareholder and they are restraining conservative content from Facebook, that you as a shareholder can file suit against Facebook for a discriminatory corporate policy.
Are you asking me if this is a fact and I'm aware of it, or you're asking me if it's a fact?
I'm asking if you are aware of it as a fact.
No, I'm not aware of it, but that could be 100% ignorance on my part. In other words, I'm not a shareholder in anything, and therefore I don't know the answer to the question. But I would normally shareholders vote with their shares, and if they're big enough and important enough, that can really speak to a company. But I do believe when you have annual meetings that shareholders can show up, large and small alike, and they can raise issues at those meetings. Whether they have legal recourse, do you know if there's anything to that? Is that just something you're trying to figure out?
That's a known corporate governance law that if you're a shareholder in a company and they do something contrary to the best interest of the shareholders, you can sue them in a court of law. So you've
got it.
So being a shareholder, you can actually threaten to bring a lawsuit. You know, you'd probably just threaten to bring a lawsuit. You wouldn't actually go to the actual trouble of doing so unless they don't reverse that policy.
Got it. Well, thank you. Again, I'm completely ignorant of that, and thank you for filling us in. So any of you that might be listening, watching, that are Facebook shareholders or that want to become Facebook shareholders for this purpose, to hold them accountable. Again, private company can do what they want to do, but if you're a shareholder and they have certain guidelines and you feel they're not operating based on those guidelines and they're being discriminatory and unethical in violation of their own guidelines, then, let's hold their feet to the fire. And, Bill, thank you for alerting us to that and making us aware. We're not trying to be heavy-handed. Just like Paul in Acts 16, after getting beaten wrong and falsely as a Roman citizen, when they're about to just, ooh, Roman citizen, we better go down here quietly. He says, no, I want to talk to leadership around here. Don't do that again. Don't do that again. So there is a righteous thing that we do as part of God's moral conscience in the society. Let's just be consistent. Thank you, sir. I appreciate the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Let us go to Philadelphia. No, we won't go to Philly. All right, hang on. Let's go to Des Moines, Iowa. Daniel, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, thank you. I just had a quick question, what your thoughts are on the baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Yes, as I understand it, which would be in harmony with classical Pentecostal teaching, the baptism of the Spirit is distinct from salvation. The moment we are born again, we are baptized by the Spirit into the Messiah's body, into the body of Christ. The moment we are born again, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who then bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. But as I understand the baptism in the Spirit, it is something subsequent to salvation in most cases, where we are specially endued with power to be witnesses. And with that power is some type of divine gifting, tongues, prophecy, healing, other things like that. And that it is something distinct and experienced subsequent to salvation. Now, of course, I don't divide over that. And many people are absolutely adamant that's not the case, and you get everything you need the moment you're born again. You just have to grow into it. Hey, if that's the case, fine. If Pentecostals grow into it by experiencing it at a later time, and that's what they understand as the baptism of the Spirit, and from that point on they've been endued with supernatural power to be witnesses, or if someone says we receive all of it the moment we're saved, we just have to grow little by little by little to understand everything God's given us, fine, as long as we agree on the end, which is that God wants to supernaturally empower us to be his witnesses and to demonstrate that Jesus is risen from the dead through us, through his mighty power and through his word, then I'm fine. All right?
Okay. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and a lot of times when I talk about to people, I'll direct them to Acts 8:14-17, and still there seems to be a lot of resistance anyway.
Yeah, I mean, look, I see it as the consistent pattern. The believers were certainly born-again believers, but they were not endued with the power until Acts, the second chapter, and that's what Jesus references in Luke 24:49. That's what he references in Acts 1:8. And then you're right to point to Acts 8. The believers of Samaria were born again, but had not yet received the Spirit. And then in Acts 10, Peter says, look, when he hears them speak in tongues, they've been baptized in the Spirit. How can we not baptize them in water? And then in Acts, the 19th chapter, the believers from Ephesus, Paul wants to know, did you receive the Spirit when you believed? Well, why ask the question if it's automatic? So I'm with you on that. That's how I read it. To me, ultimately, the proof is in the pudding. if God is working through you and you have experienced the power of the Spirit in your life in a way that enables you to be a more effective witness, and God backs those words, you're empowered in prayer through tongues, maybe you lay hands on the sick and see them healed, or God gives a prophetic word or something else that glorifies the risen Jesus by the Holy Spirit, then amen. That's the issue, and let us all pursue everything God has here, not for our benefit primarily, although of course we benefit being used by God, but it's not primarily for our benefit. We seek God in these gifts. Why? For the glory of Jesus, for the good of a dying world, for the edification of the body. We'll be right back.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire. Just a heads up, God willing, tomorrow's broadcast, say God willing just because it's tomorrow, first half hour, I'm going to do my best to get to more of your calls as well on various questions. Second half hour, so that slot we're in right now, going to have a terrific interview with two pastor friends of mine who've written a really excellent book about the gifts of the Spirit and prophecy. They're wise. They have years, decades of experience. So I think you'll find it to be a really practical interview, and we may be able to take some calls with them as well. I'm going to have to check to see how they're going to be communicating with us, how many lines we'll have, but we might be able to take some calls with them as well. But either way, you'll find it to be very, very edifying and helpful. The Stream published a list of the top 10 original articles that were written on at stream.org, where I write several times a week. Now, most of my articles are posted everywhere. By everywhere, I mean we have a distribution list from Town Hall to WorldNet Daily to Charisma News to One News Now to barbedwire.com to stream.org to others. And every time I write an article, we send it to everyone. And then most of them get posted on all of them, some more selectively. All right. However, once a week, normally I write an article exclusively for the Stream. And that you'll only find there. And then 30 days later, post it in full on our own website, Ask Dr. Brown website. And of course, everything we post is posted there on the Ask Dr. Brown website, videos, articles, etc. So these are original articles that I wrote for the Stream included here, as well as a number of other original articles that were written for the Stream. So these were their top 10 most read. And in fact, I'll go through the list tomorrow just to give you an idea of what got people's interest. If I still have time, I'll do it today. But I found this interesting to see what got the most response, not to all articles I wrote, but to my exclusives on the Stream as well as other exclusives on the Stream. 866-34-TRUTH. And by the way, everyone listening in Des Moines, Iowa, let me look at my calendar. Is it Saturday, January 20th? I think that's the date. Let's see. January 20th on a Saturday, I'm scheduled to be speaking at a fitness conference. A healthy eating, healthy living conference. But the day before, Friday the 19th, we're looking for me to broadcast live from our studios in Des Moines, from our Truth Studios in Des Moines. And we're probably going to do an extra hour just for an in-person listening audience. We can only get a few dozen people in there. But we'll be announcing that, getting word out. But just want to give you a heads up to put that day aside, January 19th, Friday. And if you can make it to the conference, January 20th, Saturday. All right, back to the phones with Liz in New Zealand. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Wow, good to talk to you, Dr. Brown.
Well, nice to hear from you.
Yeah, we love you from here in New Zealand. You know, we're very sad about the recent resolution against the United States of America. But I just wanted to say, you know, I'm a keen listener of your show, and I love you.
Well, thank you. What time is it, Liz, right now in New Zealand?
Right now, it's nearly 10 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
Beautiful sunny day.
I was only in New Zealand once, and it was for 2 days, but what a beautiful country you have, and what an amazing environment you live in.
Yes, it's an absolutely beautiful country, and, you know, I spend most of my time in Israel, but I love this country, and many, many people come here, and many Israelis come here, actually, and hear the gospel in New Zealand.
Yeah, amazing.
So despite the bad things that are happening, there are some wonderful things happening, too.
Yes,
but
great.
Because you're a very sound voice in the world, and we're very grateful for you, but I just wanted to say again on one issue. You know, I've worked with young people for many years, and I really want to see young people take a hold of the kingdom of God and the message of Israel. But also this issue of women, I believe it's a stumbling block for many women in Israel, in New Zealand, and in the world. Because my view in looking at the scripture is, when Jesus was talking to the hypocrites of his time, and, you know, they were talking about divorce and remarriage, and in that very situation, women had total disadvantage, and, you know, they could be put away for any reason at the whim of a man. But Jesus turned the whole situation around, but he pointed them back to the very beginning. And I think it's so important that we go back to the beginning of the scriptures where it says God created male and female in his image, and he gave them dominion over the world in partnership. And the fall and the curse caused this oppression and the secondary role for women, and Jesus came to set us free from that and to break the power of the curse. So I really wanted to re-look at that. For the sake of women, for the sake of the gospel, coming to women and men in partnership, because the kingdom mandate is also for male and female together.
Yes.
And I don't think that we'll reach its fullness unless that partnership is realized. And at the moment, many women are still being pushed down in their gifts and oppressed and sidelined. So that's all I wanted to say to you, Dr. Brown.
Yeah.
Because I really do admire you, but I do think that this is a stumbling block, this issue of women.
Yeah, so let me just jump in real quick, just because we have limited time before the broadcast is over, and I do want to amen much of what you're saying, and then clarify one or two things in terms of what I would personally believe. But thank you for calling, thank you for listening, and thank you for your love for Israel. Number one, I absolutely affirm that we have a partnership, that God works with men and women, and that his work is not complete unless men and women are involved in it. And that only through men and women being involved in glorifying him and bearing witness to him does the world get a full picture of who he is, because he created us, male and female, in his image. That's number one. Number two, I believe that God calls women just like he calls men, and that his gifts flow through women like they flow through men, and that he uses women in extraordinarily important ways. I believe that. I also believe that as a result of the fall, and as a result of the sinfulness of man, women are oppressed and put down in ways far beyond God's ideal. And you'll see that, for example, in cultures where, you know, a man, I remember when we had refugees living with us from Southeast Asia, that when they'd go to the grocery store together and they'd walk back home, the woman would be about 10 feet behind the man as he walked. And she was carrying all the groceries, you know, barely able to carry them. And he walked without anything 10 feet ahead. That, to me, is a result of the fall, not God's intent. All that being said, I believe it's important that we celebrate male-female distinctives and celebrate the beauty of motherhood, the beauty of female calling, the beauty of male calling, and distinctives that apply only to men and to women, and that God still ideally, even in creation, established man first and then woman. In other words, that governmental headship still comes from men. But it's an absolute partnership together. That's how I look at my relationship with Nancy. And together we have maximum impact for the kingdom. All right, so we're out of time. More calls tomorrow. Back with you. Let's move forward and exalt Jesus.